Gosh, well, isn't it overwhelming? It's pretty overwhelming, right? What a giant ass kind of topic
Yeah.
to even.
Well, I think it's what's part of what's a lot about it to me is, I don't know, just how to navigate the public facing part of it too. You know, because there's like, I feel like when it comes to aspects of identity and community, there's like a lot of stuff that gets talked about that you and I might talk about behind closed doors, stuff that we might say in public. And
Yeah.
I think there's, I don't know, and I think it is often a question, like how much of this needs to be public, how much of it needs to be behind closed doors, who is this for, you know, like to be making it aspects of it public. So it's an
Yeah.
ongoing question.
Like what to reveal and what not to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you talk about like the intention behind things too, like I think the biggest thing is just really healing. That's probably the biggest thing for me is it's just that. And now I'm really harking back to that really great New York Times interview with Stephen Young. I don't know. I think I don't know what was coming out. I don't think it was Mean Eddie. I think it was like some other movie he was in, or maybe it was, but they had assigned like a Korean American interviewer to him. And like so much of that conversation was like a preamble to like, the politics of like, oh, did the Times assign you because you're Korean American and I'm Korean American and hence there's going to be some like amazing, insight and, instant camaraderie. So whatever, there's just like a lot of weirdness of just like the racialization of the conversation and how much time they were just gonna like devote to that versus like, oh hey, Stephen Young, you're amazing, your career is like on fire and let's talk about the work. Yeah. I don't know. That article is kind of a standout article for me,
Yeah.
when it
I mean,
came.
that's something I think about too, is I don't know if I can speak for myself that I feel like at least coming from like an immigrant family, that there is a sense of the work needing to speak for itself, but then, and I think in the way that a lot of like API politics have played out, there can be a kind of invisibilizing of the struggles and the work and the healing that is happening, partly alongside this like value of, which I'm not sure I always buy into, of like letting the work speak for itself. You know, I have like double, I have
Oh
multiple
yeah,
feelings about it at the same time.
sure. Yeah. What? Well, I guess maybe one of the like counter sort of things that I totally know the kind of pressure that you're speaking to. This is actually one of your questions to me. And I think it's just kind of a weird undue pressure, and I don't know, like what produces it, if it's cultural anxiety, if it's curatorial anxiety, if it's human anxiety. This is like a whole lot of anxiety, but like why does that have to be present in the work? It's like here you are, you're a whole human being. Okay, so you're a practitioner, you make dances, you're a choreographer. That doesn't, like, because your work doesn't overtly or flagrantly address identity issues or what have you, doesn't mean that you're apathetic, like
Yeah.
why is there that assumption? It's like you could be a fucking like, political activist crusader in your
Yeah.
versus spare time when you're
Yeah.
trying
Yeah. I mean, I think it's,
to make dances.
yeah. Yeah, totally. And I feel it, it's like, I feel it, it's complicated because I simultaneously hear that and I think for myself there, you know, I feel like I acknowledge the kind of privilege of like being able to separate, like, okay, this is about the work for myself or something. And then I also have felt the kind of pressure to, I mean, from mentors and other people in like institutional contexts where they're, you know, like the notes on the work have to do with why not kind of tie this into some colonial aspects, you know, like, or why not talk about, I've had that experience where,
so you
like
have
really directly being told, not for the sake of getting any awards or grants or anything like that, but even just for like, is this like almost like fishing for what the kind of politic or the agenda might be. And I think somehow, at least for myself, I'm curious about that space between a lot of those things. And I think there's pressure to, there is pressure I have felt to like have it be about a kind of thing.
Yeah. So wait a second, I have a clarifying question for you.
Yeah.
So you have, wait, who are, see, this is actually very eye-opening for me. Okay, so these are comments from other practitioners. These are comments from curators. These are,
it was more in an educational context, like
educational context.
Yeah, being kind of like guided in a particular direction to,
yeah,
from someone who was not Filipino. I mean, it was a white person, you know, to kind of gently nudging me in that realm. And I think, so for me specifically, I think part of my mixed feelings about like how to or not to address politics or kind of social aspects in the work is also kind of some suspicion around who is this serving or who is it for.
Of course.
Yeah.
What is the, like, what is the genuine intention behind that? And because this is your question that you sent me, which was worded very well and articulately. I'm curious about the pressure to make a certain kind of work that we both may or may not experience or might experience to different degrees. So I would say I hear you, and I don't think, I have to really think back over decades whether or not anybody has explicitly tried to guide me in that way, and I'm coming up empty. So that's not to say though that I don't feel that kind of particular pressure, because obviously look at the work that is just being made, you know, whether or not they like succumb to certain pressures, curatorial pressures or cultural pressures or, you know, whatever. But I will say, looking at over two decades of practice, like, and you know this very clearly too, sort of what kind of support or not support has happened for me, that I look to as a clear indicator of like, for whatever reason, like the work that I made, I don't know, it's just not been supported, you know, in terms of like certain milestones. And at this time, I'm going to explicitly name the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, because the statistics are out there. If you go to their website, and you look at the recipients in dance, When I really looked at it, it may be 2022. There are only 3 out of 79 recipients of the Individual Artist to Award who are Asian American. So that to me is just like, and I personally haven't received the award, and I can also like name some other, you know, Nami Yamamoto, I don't think has gotten the award. And, you know, then we hark back to Donna Uchizono. It's like, why isn't her name on the list? And Kusile Joang, and, you know, I can, yeah, they're just like real serious, egregious omissions. So I'm going to name it because, again, you can just go to the website and you can look, it, like it's all on there, and it's just, I'm just connecting the dots. So like that to me is the clear indicator, and the way that system is set up, you know, it's artists nominating other artists. And that's like a lovely sort of like chummy thought of like, hey, you know, we're all in this together, but that doesn't work when people are racist. It just doesn't. And why are artists, like, why wouldn't artists be racist? We're in this culture, you know,
yeah.
We're here, we're alive, we're part of this whole system. We all traffic in these systems and we're all enculturated to these things. So, you know, that's certainly alive and well. So when I look to that, I certainly have not, and I don't mean this in like a pissy kind of like, woe is me kind of way, but it's just a fact. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain milestone markers where you look at somebody like me who makes the kind of work that I make, which is experimental, and, you know, you don't sort of reach certain milestones. It's just a fact. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely point to that and say, for sure, you know, I'm doing it. I can connect the dots on that. And, you know, for sure, you know, people may just not like my work, too. Of course, that's,
mm-hmm.
that's how it is. That's the deal that you make when you make work and you put it into this world. Of course, you're not going to please everybody. But
yeah,
for me, that's a certainly a strong, undeniable evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you, yeah, I'm curious, like, because of that evidence, do you, does that, whether you respond to or however you feel through the pressure, do you, does it kind of exert pressure on you to make a certain kind of work? Or
no.
Like, how does it?
No, because I am who I am and I just don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a peculiar place, and it's all an outgrowth of pandemic and like, yeah, I lost my dad, you know, a little over a year and a half ago, and you know this, and you know, like I really took that like forced contemplation to heart. Of course,
mm-hmm.
Of course. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing in this form? Like, how are these systems holding up? Why are we trafficking them? Why do we prop them up? Like,
yeah,
you know, if we don't do a serious reevaluation of that, I just like what was there was no silver lining then,
mm-hmm.
The whole pandemic. So yeah, so I've come out, I seem to have come out the other side, and no, I seem to be kind of I don't know. I mean, I do it because I have my own particular curiosities and inquiries and interests, and if I don't protect the freedom and the why of what I do, then I don't know why I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just let my natural interests lead the way. And, you know, also speaking from the perspective of somebody who's been making work for so long too, it's just like, you see like, you know, fashion is definitely at play. You know, fashion is, and dance, of course, just like everything else. There's stuff that's going to be fashionable and then it's not fashionable and other things are going to be fashionable. And, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. I guess one thing I'm curious about too is like, do you then, cause you said like naturally, you're not necessarily, explicitly like highlighting these politics or something like that, but does it make you feel like it that is the pressure to exclude it? You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm curious, like, how does like these things you and I have talked about around all the kind of institutional racism and these things, like, how does that, I don't know. I'm really curious, like, how does that sit for
Like
you
as
in
kind
relation
of a
to
political
work, to
stance,
like your
like
practice?
the
Not necessarily
negation
like
of
a,
like making explicitly
I don't know if it's a negation. I don't
political.
even know if it's about a stance per se. I'm just curious, like, how for you,
I think I
you
just
live together
literally
in
don't
your,
pick up that stick. I just don't pick it up because I think at this point it's so highly personal. Like I just feel like I have to protect what energy and motivation I do have and not expend it in ways where I think it's just like a no thing. It's like a no position. It's a no, like not one way or the other. Like I think I want to have a really enjoyable experience. If I'm going to be interfacing with like curators and programmers and institutions and gatekeepers or whatever the fuck the language is now, like I want to know that they're on my side for the right reasons. And if the energy doesn't feel good, like I'm just out. Like I'm just,
Yeah, I love
you know, like you gotta
that.
go where the love is.
Yeah.
Just go where the love is. And that's beyond any kind of polarized kind of like the polarization right now is just making me so sick that
Yeah.
I just, it's so fraught that I just don't, in order to again protect my own practice and my well-being, like those boundaries are very clear.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's tricky now because I think, you know, there are more than a few institutions and artists and groups of artists examining care, and I feel like as an aesthetic, it's, you know, when it's brought into this kind of aesthetic or this kind of creative landscape, it's, I don't know, it's there's so many layers to it because then I'm like, what's your real intention?
The aestheticization of care. Or the
Yeah.
performance of care. The performativity of
Yeah.
care. I don't know. I don't know how much I can speak to that because I also, you know, at the risk of sounding incredibly sort of cynical about it, although I think there's certainly a grain of truth in it, you know, yeah, that could also be considered fashionable. Which means, again, it will come and it will go. As a definition of fashion.
Yeah. But I would love for the care to
The real care?
remain. Yeah, the real care to remain. But
For you,
then
all of that.
it
I
becomes
hope that
harder, I
never
think.
goes out of
Maybe because
fashion.
it, yeah. Well, it becomes harder, I think, to like to differentiate when it's there. For me at least, I'm just like, is this really care, or is this, yeah, like you said, the performance of it?
And also, I think at this time, I want to inject into the conversation that, you know, we actually started talking about all this stuff like years ago. I do have any, all I know, we were, you know, we went to the Vietnamese place and had banh mi. It's what I remember. Yum. And I don't know what year that was, if it was pre-Atlanta shootings or after, which of course changed everything.
I think it was after.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think it was so.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember we were remarking too, because that was a very private conversation between the two of us, but just even being like, you know, both of us expressing a lot of ambivalence and a lot of trepidation about somehow speaking in a more public kind of platform about these really incredible, profound issues specific to AAPI and in our dance community. Now that, you know, I'm like an elder.
Well, I remember it also being in the context of just being scared on the subway and, you know, and kind of just being like looking over my shoulder as I'm going in the subway to just
so real.
Be double checking.
And who is even like really cognizant of that other than other AAPI? Yeah, because I think when all of that was happening, there were all those assaults on AAPI. And I think I learned something about the way other people saw me. Who weren't AAPI, who would be sort of perhaps astonished that I had some trepidation or was conscious of, like, very, like, vigilant of where I was going out in the city. Like, sort of like, oh, you didn't realize I was, you thought I was white. Essentially. Which,
totally.
Actually, I love that as a point of entry.
Yeah.
Other dicey dimensions.
Yeah.
Something I would speak to in my trajectory and working in this community and this forum, I think that's been the flip side of, like, again, this is, it's just a feeling. Well, there's all these like little granular things, right? And it's not like one particular thing that gives you this sort of feeling of being othered, but it's the accumulation of all these things. Like, weird comment that that curator made, or that weird comment that that teacher made, or that weird comment that your fellow practitioner, you know, whatever. But I, in a sort of broader sense, I think what you pointed to very clearly was, you know, there's this perhaps like an expectation of, could you make work that is more overtly about identity politics, particularly your identity? Could you please racialize your work?
Yeah, basically.
More.
Could you please share your trauma?
And then I think the flip has been that perhaps in my case, my work is not so visible because it's like, what the fuck are we going to do with her? Because it's like, she makes this white work because she's making, you know, experimental stuff, which is coded as white. So then it's like, well, then I guess we're just going to treat her like another white woman advocate, you know?
Yeah.
I think that has also definitely, like, no, she's not, we can't put her into the, she makes like very traditional Buto, you know, and there's nothing wrong, I love Buto, you know, but like something that is steeped in heritage and cultural legacy, and, you know, then we can be like, ah, yeah, you know, we know what to do that. That's like, it still has the flavor of being exotic. Okay, so Sam Kim doesn't do that. So I guess she's like another white girl. And that's no fun.
Yeah, it's not a fun erasure.
Or no, I was going to say that's no fun for a curator.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's, you know, that like, what's saleable about that? You know, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a conjecture. What can I say? But those are some feelings. Those are some hypotheses I have, you know, in my mind.
Yeah. One thing I've been like thinking about too, I mean, is whether I'm maybe because of at least in my experience with kind of other languages. And so, you know, hearing my dad or my mom's experience, they're not, I think that they weren't necessarily always explicitly talking about the politics of, or this explicit racism that experienced. And I think there was like often a desire to maybe focus more on the, like, triumph over those kinds of things. And I think it, I don't know, I've just been lately thinking about other ways of healing or being together that aren't always like languaging the, because somehow I feel like, at least in my relationship with my parents, I can maybe feel without us having to say it out loud, kind of aspects of their own healing, or just, I don't know. It's something I'm just curious about. There's like these other ways of healing that aren't always languaging that I don't really have the words for, but I feel like I witness it happening, you know? I know, what a great way to like be having an interview through words when I don't have the words for any of these things.
Hey, Mert, what are they good for?
But I don't know. It's something it's really important. I mean, I make light of it, but it's also, I just think it's like, it's something I feel for myself kind of is mysterious to me, but also there's something like palpable and potent about it. Because I find that like talking to my parents or other, I don't know what I'm saying. It's just, I feel like there's a kind of healing that maybe I've been witnessing as like being in the room together that isn't always accompanied by words.
Are you talking about this with respect to like work being made or just a different sphere of?
I think maybe all of the above. I think healing can happen with like explicitly coming into the room with an agenda and like with a discourse and with a desire.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the kind of pressure we were talking about earlier. I somehow feel like with a lot of what I've been witnessing with like artist statements and the kind of pressure to professionalize in a particular way, that there's this way of like language as this particular kind of currency. And I feel like work can somehow gain more traction if the language is kind of accompanying it in a particular way. But I guess what I'm saying is that I think I kind of wonder about the space where art or dance or whatever can operate in ways that don't always have to always put the value on like how much the artist knows about what they're doing, or if that makes sense, or what they can say about what they're doing.
Yeah, mystery. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, totally. No, I love that's my favorite.
not to say, I feel like not to discount any work that is like where the person is a wonderful advocate for their own work.
Oh.
I guess I just think like,
I don't think it's a either or kind of
yeah, I don't think it's an either or. I just
it's
think
not
like,
binary. Yeah,
in the, the kind of way in which gatekeeping has kind of evolved, that like, especially with dance, I feel like there, if, you know, there's so much, I feel like there's so much currency in like what and how someone speaks about the work.
Things being very articulated in a very particular way. Yeah, I don't know. Like, again, I think it just goes back to intention. And if, I mean, I think it's a really huge question of like, what are the means to heal? And I know I said, that's what I really want. And, you know, if it's not really coming through the channels of like what dance is right now or performance is right now, like, that's okay. It's okay for me. You just start looking for other channels.
Can you say more about that? I'm curious what you...
Oh, things that just aren't dance.
Oh, yeah.
Other practice.
You're saying the healing can come from like other practices or art forms and things that...
Yeah. You know, I think even the way that this conversation came down, I think it's really good to point out that Lons and I were in a space together, and I don't know how it came up. I think we were just getting to know each other, and somehow race came up, and before I knew it, I was telling Lons that I had a very bizarre, very long phone conversation with Donna Uchisono, who, after the Atlanta shootings, she was on her own trajectory with sort of reckoning with her own position in the dance world and her own experience. And she's the only choreographer of research stripe of Japanese descent who, you know, was born in the States, complicated notions of like what generation she is. And I don't really know how to talk about generations myself. Anywho, that we had that conversation and we had not known each other really at all. And it was so long. That conversation was so long. We had so much to like insert projectile.
Yeah.
Vomiting gesture in this conversation. And that was like, very telling. That was incredible. Like, you know, she had been isolated in her own way, and it made me realize that I was the only kind of choreographer working in this niche of the dance world as a Korean American. Like, nobody was really behind me that I knew of. And like, weird things too, and I don't say this in a self-aggrandizing way, but like, I noticed at some point, like Dance Magazine, somebody and API young writer had written something for Dance Magazine and had cited me as like they were talking about API choreographers, the avant-garde, and you know, it's like Akon Koma, Sam Kim, and I was like, oh god, why is that? How can my name be mentioned in the same breath as Akon Koma? That like really, I feel weird. Like I just feel weird about it. Like, wow, I'm terribly, terribly flattered. Like, wow, I don't do anything to promote myself, like ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on zero social meds, so how do they even find me?
Yeah.
That, you know, it was such a small, terrifyingly small group, and it also lit a fire under my ass of like, holy shit, I better be more present in a certain way to help out the others that are coming up behind me. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Somehow all that like crystallized that for me. And I'd never, cause again, you know, like I think we're all so freaking tired with just like having to, you know, make the work, having to book the space, having to, you know, chase down dancers and make schedules and write some grants and all the stuff of the stuff to just make the thing and you're doing all that to the extent that like you don't see certain things, like, you know, like the Atlanta shootings, like, God, like it really, I have so many wildly ambivalent feelings about just like, oh my God, like the wake up call, even on the level of just like, I hadn't even been thinking very, very consciously about race, me, who I am as a Korean American making work in this particular form. And like, what did that even, like, I was just trying to get by doing all the things. So, and I mean, I'm not going to speak for Donna here, but again, the fact that she has reached a certain level of visibility and being the only one to do that, I think also just speaks to like a certain wild expenditure of like energy to just, which actually leads me to your other
question. I was just going to ask. Yeah.
I'll just maybe read it because it's, also, did you feel a sense of competitiveness with other AAPI choreographers, parentheses from others or from within, or was there a sense of solidarity? No. No, either way. I think because there are so few of us, particularly my generation, and I think of Mina Nishimura as very much my generation, although I think she's actually a little, no, she's a little younger in years and also I think in choreographic practice. She makes very different work. She makes, you know, like her and Kota, I don't think make, they would not say that they make Buto, but it's still highly Buto inflected. So to me, that was just such a different stripe of work that I just never felt any kind of like, I'm just like, oh, it's apples and oranges. And then I just adore Mina as a person. So
yeah,
there wasn't a sense of like me racializing, like say our relationship, just as an example. So, but again, I think I was just so like this, just trying to get the work done and doing all the like secondary, tertiary, whatever things to get the work made that I wasn't even really thinking about.
Yeah.
So
well, like, yeah.
Hence, like, not necessarily the solidarity either of like, hey, you
yeah.
know, like, doesn't this suck? Like, we're really fucking like alone and isolated. Like, you know, that, ouch. Like, that didn't even, you know, really enter my consciousness. It's like, makes me cringe to say it, but, you know, so there you have it, to be totally honest. And then I'm very curious. And again, I can't put words into anybody else's mouth, but just knowing, like, just how racism is, like back in the 90s when I was definitely young and like very young and just starting, and I can sort of think of like other AAPI choreographers who were sort of like hitting their stride and in their heyday, I definitely think it really was problematic in terms of like, oh, if we're gonna do this, you know, program, I think we can only have one of you. You know,
yeah.
The tokenization of like, you know, tokenization was going on like full force.
Yeah, totally.
That was the heyday of like, so, you know, of course that sets up this like really ugly dynamic of like, oh my God, this is going to be one of us. Like, you know, like, ugh, oh God. I mean, tokenization is still going on strong.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But it's a nicer one. It's a nicer stripe of racism.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
Yes, and you, because I want to hear from your perspective. I want to hear the same questions.
I think maybe it's maybe not from as much from within. Like, I don't feel like I'm like, I don't feel competitive personally. It's more like kind of what you were saying earlier about how different institutions maybe haven't curated so many APIs. So then it's like, I'll just, you know, there's like, oh, in this program or in this selection process, maybe there's like one or two or zero, you know what I mean? And so I feel like there would be kind of like, I don't know what to call that kind of awareness of that being a thing. You know what I mean? Like where, so in some ways, I think that's related to the earlier question about the pressure to make certain kinds of work, because I feel like for me, there would be, you know, there would be sometimes like an awareness that if, and the question is like, if I were to make certain kinds of work, what would that do? I mean, it wouldn't make me necessarily do the other kinds of work, but it's just kind of in my psyche. And so then it's just a presence that's there, which is going to be there. And so I would say like I've experienced it maybe both ends, the solidarity and the competitiveness. I remember when I first moved to New York, there was someone whose API I was kind of just trying to be friendly with in a dance class. And I just got this like really competitive vibe, and I couldn't tell if it was like partly general competitiveness or just like
racialized.
Yeah, racialized competitiveness, where it's like you're there can only be one. I don't know. You know? And I'm like, I don't care. You know, I'm just like, we can both be here. And so I.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Oh,
but I feel like more recently.
But, yeah. You know, it's painful, right?
Yeah, it is painful. And
oh,
so then,
yeah. That just speaks to, like, you know, I think a larger dysfunctional, highly dysfunctional dynamic. And, you know, like that's just a cultural legacy thing in dance.
Yeah, totally.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on, you know, like auditioning culture and cutthroat, you know, who's going to get that job? Uh-huh. I think that's, who knows how to unpack that?
Yeah.
But, or even, you know, how about the fact that that question even crops up in your mind of like, what stripe of competitiveness is this? Is it racialized or is it just, run of the mill dance?
Or both. I mean, I think they like these overlap.
You know, again, why, you know?
Just because the awareness of like what,
yeah,
the kind of tokenization that you're talking about before too. And on the other end too, I have more recently been feeling the sense of solidarity, but that's like way more recently. And
that's fabulous.
That has been nice.
Yeah, for sure. That's so good. I guess I'm thinking, I'm mulling over, like, I think one of the reasons why I really wanted to talk to you, well, number one, we just have our own natural affinity, which is lovely. We like each other, which is lovely. And, but I think I've said this in a number of different ways. I don't know, in different contexts. I'm just like, I have been waiting. I have been waiting for somebody like you. Yeah. So we could even have this level of conversation. Cause I would say, you know, within very recent memory, it wasn't even somehow the space wasn't even there, you know, like it wasn't even the space, the imagining that we could have this conversation. That wasn't even there. The awareness of the potential for it. Like, would there be a day when there be like these younger, cooler choreographers who come along who have the capacity to hold all of this nuance and articulate these weird things of like, oh, like what sort of competitiveness is, you know, like,
yeah.
Like it's such a huge fucking relief to me that this day has finally arrived because, and I think that points to the sense of isolation, like the profound sense of isolation and loneliness when you don't even have the language. Like you don't know how to name it because you think nobody else has experienced it because you're the only one. Like that's very, very, very deep.
Yeah.
So, so deep. And, you know, there have been other younger makers and thinkers and people and other players in our community who also have this expanded kind of awareness and can have this conversation coming from a place of like genuine care, and not the performativity of care. So that's been, that has kept me in the field. That's given me like a lot of hope and a lot of courage. And I think it's just like the shocking awareness that I didn't realize I was even going, like, I don't know what I was running on, like fumes or something, like bereft of that kind of like hope and courage that things would actually progress in a really good way, like one of these days. So it feels like there's some kind of critical mass that's been reached, but I didn't know that. I had no idea because I didn't even know I was alone. And so I'm really glad that Donna Chisona was like, wow, I'm alone. And then it made me realize I was alone. So yeah, I do. And so I do. I definitely do in my own not salient ways at all, but through my own, I guess, very personal channels. You bet. I have been having very bizarre, honest conversations with trying to affect some change, bring some awareness to the lack of representation of AAPI in our field. And also I just want to say too, like Kathy Park Hong has been very huge for me with her book, Minor Feelings, that really, cause she's a contemporary of mine. And it's been just really interesting to hear somebody who's working in some other completely different discipline. And then I've become buddies with other AAPI artists working in other disciplines. And, you know, some like younger, like say Korean American writer would be like, oh yeah, you know, like this Korean American writer, that Korean, no, 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 no. I'm like, oh, you have a cohort. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. I am wildly jealous of you, but in the best way. I'm so glad that you're not alone. I'm so glad that you have support, and I'm so glad you have models. And yeah, so yeah, I mean, I do it. I don't put it into my work, but you know, why do I have to? But it doesn't mean I'm apathetic at all. I do other things.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that's what I was asking earlier is just like how, because it sounds like obviously you care. And I guess it's like there's like these parallel and spacious places of the care. And I guess I am curious about how, like, are they, you know, there's this channel that you're talking about with like, supporting future generations of AAPI choreographers and artists, and like, yeah, I'm curious, like, I don't know, what does the support look like for you, or what do you think is needs to change? I mean, of course, this question of representation, I'm curious, like, what you think in terms of the nuances of what your experiences of isolation and, like, how other experiences you've had maybe like future generations can heal from like these past isolationisms. Do you know what I mean? Like what do you think?
Too many things in there. Wait.
Yeah.
let's tease some of these things out.
Yeah, I
guess
I'm just curious, like, because you're speaking to this particular kind of isolation that you felt, and we talked about like increasing representation. I guess I'm curious about what else you think would kind of like amplify.
How do we?
What needs to happen? How to move forward? You know.
No easy. Oof. No easy.
I know it's not an easy question, but I'm just curious.
I don't know. Okay, so I fantastic though, because I'm literally thinking about like what is sort of the sequence of like decision making. And you know, for instance, this conversation came about because Lons had some natural curiosity about what I was saying, and I remember saying to Lons, like, that phone call with Donna actually felt really historic. Like, I knew it because Donna was the only fucking, like, you know, API choreographer of a certain generation, and she was coming to that reckoning and awareness herself. And then I was like, oh my god, I'm the only one. And Korean American, da da da, and you know, Lons caught it, like really clocked it, and you know, and then the word allyship, like real allyship, came into my mind. I'm like, there it is. Like, Lons, love you.
Love you, Lon.
You know, like,
put
right?
That in the interview too, that we love you.
What?
I just
big shout out to Lon right now.
Lon, to put it in the,
love you so much.
The text, so
love you.
Love
I mean,
you.
That's the evidence of the real care.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it was like, oh my god, like hearing the import of that, and Lon's clocking that, and then creating this space. So I think that if I'm forcing certain channels or something, like that's not, it's just a feeling thing, you know, then it feels like perhaps that's not right. That's not the right space or portal or platform or whatever. But when somebody comes like that to me, and like really, it just felt organic and right and came from the right place. So. And I think that's what I look for first. It's like, again, it's a real great question of intention. Like, is there real allyship? Is there real understanding? If there isn't understanding, is there a real gesture to try to understand, a willingness?
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel it. You can feel it if the intentions are
mm-hmm.
genuine and honest versus some kind of perhaps... some kind of calculated agenda.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. They spring up in their own mysterious ways, and it's just a, sort of a feeling I have. You know, it's we talk about institutions and stuff, but they're all just people. We're just talking about people.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's just, you know, sussing out what feels right, what feels honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think now it's like the various channels where I'm trying to affect some kind of conversation or some sort of awareness, like it does boil down to some kind of individual who seems to be listening well and recognizing the need and is being generous in some, like, again, like a true generosity, whatever. So I just start with people, and if the feeling is right, then it's right.
Yeah.
And then I think concurrent to that is also really taking care of myself. You know, it's been a hard-earned kind of thing, decades, again, of sort of this particular slog in this field of like, yeah, if I'm to continue doing this, I have to take care of myself. You know, now there are certain non-negotiables. And things are changing. And things are changing. Like the fact that you, and this is now a really good time to bring up how, because I think, again, it's just a sort of a weird reflection on the larger culture and a way to track progress and change, that you and I were recently the only two delegates who, you know, I know that you like that word, New York City delegates to go to that cultural GPS exchange through movement research to Belgrade. And the invite came out of the blue for me, but you had been slated to do this for a while, and through pretty much a former iteration of the same program, which was run through DTW like 1,000 years ago in 2005, I had gone to Skopje, Macedonia, for the Balkan Dance Platform. And, you know, when I found out it was going to be you and me this time, you know, one of my first thoughts was like, OMG, wow, we're both AAPI. Nobody seems to be number one, like, wow, yay, us. We're sending two AAPI. Nobody was doing that. Movement research wasn't doing that.
We were doing
And if we were doing
that.
that, toasting ourselves in Belgrade. But then, you know, on the other hand, nor was there, you know, the anxiety of like, oh my God, you know, we're only sending two, and oh shit, you know, we fucked up. They're both AAPI. We can't have like, no, more than one. So that wasn't happening. Because for better or worse, it's like nobody was paying attention. And it's like, oh my God, that was like victory. That was like a weird ass victory of like, it's like, doesn't, you know, we're just sending a Sam, we're just sending a Justin. Right? Just because. They see. Maybe not. I don't want to speak for you, movie research.
I mean, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's and I think it's great that it was to API, you know, that it was some they were sending two people and it happened to be to API because the conversations we had. I don't know. They felt like they could happen more so outside of New York or the US because we were in a situation where
So out
for so many
here.
reasons where
Okay.
we were both kind of trying to explain our struggles back in New York and in the US. And I think that was, I don't know. It seemed like almost like things came together in the right way for that to happen.
I agree. I think it was total magic. I think it was like amazing kismet that, yeah, like it just like so not contrived, right? And it was just such a special group in such a special space, and they heard us. You know, I don't know about you, but I felt very heard
Yeah,
cool,
definitely.
with those really groovy folks. So I'm so grateful for that. Yeah. But that's a great, I'm not sure that I even wrap my mind around that so clearly, like how, just because we were so out of our cultural everything, like not just even like, you know, certainly API and then New York, right? Like even the, like the particular culturalness of New York, making dances and being able to see that, you know, perhaps with more objectivity because we were not in it.
Yeah. Definitely.
What do you think? You think we're good?
No,
Think we solved everything?
I don't think we solved anything, but
Oh,
no, I'm just
no,
kidding. I'm just kidding. No, no,
we
no, no,
need
no,
to
no.
talk it first.
I don't mean we haven't solved anything. I just mean
I'm joking.
it's such a complex question because I think, I don't know, my sense of how to even talk about what has happened with AAPI within like a dance context or even in the US, I think it's so layered and it's so different depending on which group we're talking about within that. And I think
Yes.
just to acknowledge that. And
Oh, yeah.
I think there's just something also to that I keep thinking about how I don't know how, I don't always know how the healing happens. I feel like talking about it is one way and being together. And I feel like there's just so many, I feel like even in the act of, even the act of healing feels so specific and different. Different communities within AAPI. And so I think sometimes I'm always just curious about all these multiple channels for healing that, can and do involve like voicing struggle. And then I feel like there are so many multiple channels that don't have the words and that's okay. And I feel like there's a part of me that loves that part of it, the healing too, that I think that's why I feel like I have so much trouble in this conversation naming or like languaging the healing because I also, I'm curious about modes of healing that might come from within AAPI communities or histories that I don't know. And I can't even necessarily name them right now, but I just know for myself, just lately, I think, for example, like when I think about healing I have done with my family or my parents and things like that. It hasn't always been like a matter of saying out loud, this is the thing we're struggling with and let's do this. And, and I think, I think, I don't know, there's these ways of healing that I'm curious about, but I can't name. And I guess I just would love to see more of them manifest. But I think it is important to be like having this conversation and talking about it and yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe what comes up for me is sort of the just all the different sort of layers or spheres of groups, because Wow, like family is a whole blood family. The whole other situation. But that really kind of goes directly to my heart when you talk about like talking to your parents and what might be, or not talking to your parents, or just, you know, holding space in a particular way. You know, things not being transmitted through language per se, because that's probably not the most, or I don't know. Who knows what the most effective means?
Yeah.
You're in a situation like that, you know, community wise, dance community wise, you know, we talk about how unwieldy, like, AAPI technically a term is. It's stupid. I mean, like, we gotta break into Asia. We gotta start giving different names. It's not cool. It's not. Yeah, it's just way too, you know, like in my mind, New York City is its own country, you know, with its own culture and lifestyle.
Well, yeah.
Cost of living, for sure.
Yeah. I think it's also, maybe because I grew up in Southern California, that Asian or AAPI, it's so varied also within parts of the country, so that,
sure. I mean, yeah. Very complex.